Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Katie Weaver Show. This is Katie. I'm your host. I'm so happy to be here. Glad to see you guys coming into the chat. Hi, Lillian. Good to have you back. Good to have everybody. I want to let you know that I am over in the chat room, and you can find that by heading over to 12radio.com. Click on the chat button, and you'll be redirected into the Facebook chat. I also want to let you know that you can find this event being live streamed rather than just listening on 12 Radio if you would prefer, and you can do that by heading over to YouTube or Facebook and look for Katie Weaver Domestic Mystic. So easy enough. I also put a link to the live stream in the chat room, so you can find that there if that's helpful to you. How's it going? How is everybody? I'm drinking coffee. Again. I don't know if I told you guys this, but Scott bought me a super hoodie fancy espresso machine for Christmas. I had one, but Mars bought me one for Christmas last year. And I've liked it, but she didn't like it. Remember, she's a barista. So she's a coffee snob. And an espresso machine snob. And she has not liked my machine. She thought it was not. So the water is supposed to basically be pressurized as it comes through the coffee, the little thing that you put the coffee in and tamp it down in. There's supposed to be kind of a high pressure action there. And mine wasn't getting that. So my coffee just wasn't very strong probably and whatever. I don't know. But so anyway, to remedy that, Scott bought me this Breville that is, I could open a coffee shop with this thing. It is fancy. And it's amazing. The coffee is so good. So I've had a ton of fun with it because I have a lot of different syrups. I like to do, like, I don't do lattes per se because that's way too much milk for my tummy. So I do more like an Americano with half and half. So it's like, you know, a few tablespoons of half and half, mostly hot water and your shots. And then whatever flavors you put in it. But Quelly's crashing out too. She's about to make another cup. I so hear you. Plus my hands are cold. When my hands are cold, that's my go-to. Make coffee or tea. So that's what I'm doing. Warming up. Not that it's terribly cold. It's mid-30s here, and we don't really have any snow. We have a tiny skiff that is negligible, and it likely will be gone by today or tomorrow because we're warming back up to the high 30s, low 40s. This is not, absolutely not, January behavior around here. It's so weird. Oh, you have an espresso. I had an espresso for a little while and it broke. I liked mine too, Tara. Hello. Hi to everybody in the chat. Lillian said she can't live without her DeLonghi. So that's what Mars had. I bought her a DeLonghi last November for her birthday. And then she turned around and bought me an espresso machine for Christmas. But mine wasn't. I don't know. I didn't think mine was terrible. But this one's better. That's for sure. I also like that it just does hot water. So that you can just dispense hot water from it for tea. And my last one, the milk frother, was useless. And with this one, holy moly, what it does to some half and half. Anyway, our hot drinks are very important, right? Absolutely. So anyway, that's me and my latte this morning. Mine is an amaretto cream. I love amaretto. Both in liquor form and also just coffee syrup. This is just coffee syrup. Oh, yours could be hotter. That's your only complaint. Right. Yeah, I get that. I'm a wuss, though. I always, like, if I order coffee, like at Dutch Bros or something, I have to order it at child's temperature. Or it's so hot, I won't even be able to drink it for, you know, 3 to 5 business days. So I don't want it crazy hot because I'm a big wimp. But I don't want it too cold either. So I hear what you're saying. Oh, hazelnut for Lillian. Mm-hmm. My go-to drink at Dutch Bros. Which Dutch is my absolute favorite coffee house. I know you guys don't have them, I think, on the East Coast, though. But Dutch kind of rivals Starbucks, only it's a lot better, in my opinion. I'll tell you why I think it's better. Well, first of all, Starbucks coffee always tastes to bur like it's burnt to me. And I don't know, some people like it that way. I don't really like it as much. But so I like Dutch's coffee in general. But Dutch can do practically anything on their menu sugar-free. And Starbucks has like two or three sugar-free flavors. I'll never understand it. The same companies they use, DaVinci or Tarani, they have hundreds of sugar-free options. And Starbucks doesn't carry them. They just don't cater to people who can't drink all that sugar, which is so weird to me. So if you want a sugar-free, like French vanilla latte, you can get that there, but that's pretty much where the sidewalk ends. Isn't that weird? But anyway, so at Dutch, my favorite drink, Lillianne, is their hazelnut truffle. And it's one of their holiday drinks, but you can order it year round. But it's a like a mocha hazelnut caramel situation that is, yeah. It'll knock your socks off. That's what I'm telling you. Yeah. Anyone who picks up coffee for me, they know. What will she want? This is what she'll want. Not that I'd really be mad about any coffee being delivered into my hot little hands, but not a monster after all. Good Lord. Okay, just checking my chat rooms real quick here. Mocha's your absolute fave. Oh, same. That's the one thing I use sugared in my coffee is chocolate syrup. I like the Ghirardelli dark syrup, and I'll use that with other things that everything else, like all my coffee syrups don't have sugar, but chocolate and caramel car sauce. Yeah. I've got those on board. All righty. Well, let's get into it. There's been a lot going on in my office, and it's looking weird to me, and it's good, but I have so much stuff. When we closed Healing Hands, I brought home so much of metaphysical stuff from there. You know how in the moment there's always things you think you're going to want, right? So I've had really a whole dresser full of and on top, the top and full of things that I don't really need or want or I'm using at all. And the center for pottery in this house has been the kitchen table, which is so problematic in so many ways. And I finally went, you know what? What am I doing? I need to clean out that dresser. I need to give away that dresser. I have a nephew who was thrilled to have it. And set up my pottery station here in my office. That makes so much more sense and will make me so much happier. So I've been in the process of doing that. So now I'm just looking at my space in front of me because it's all cleared out and ready. Don't get too excited for me. It's all in the living room waiting to go to Goodwill this afternoon. But at any rate, at least it's open now and I have room now to put my table, I cleaned off, my shelving unit so I could put my pottery stuff there. Like, this is gonna be so good for me. I know. Lame, but you know how when you get something that you need to do or you want to do, and it's like everything else you do, this is what you should be doing. So it very quickly became my albatross, but somehow yesterday I just got on a tear and just got it done. So anyway, exciting. I'll share pictures when it's all set up. But I love it. And now never again will the kitchen table be the center, the base of pottery works. It shouldn't have been in the first place, but I do have a small house, so we do what we can. All righty. I'm gonna get a link to Luminous up here. We tried out a new Mediterranean restaurant this weekend that was awesome. We've never had a Mediterranean restaurant around here, and I always wish we did. Scott and I ate at one a few years ago in Colorado that was so amazing. And I really do like Mediterranean food. And so I've always been wishing we had one, and then we got one. But we typically go out to eat to celebrate my parents' birthdays. You know, when they first died, it was like, I don't know, on their death dates, we would do something, and it just sucked, you know? And so we finally decided, why are we doing that? Why don't we just celebrate their birthdays? That's the important piece. So we started doing that, but that's somewhat challenging because my mom's birthday's in December, my dad's birthday's in January, and December is already such a big month. And so, at any rate, blah blah blah, we landed on just doing a birthday celebration for both of them in January. So that's what we've done the last several years, and it's honestly been so much better to do it that way. So that's what we did this weekend. We went out to dinner to celebrate their birthdays and went to this new Mediterranean place. The food was really good. The service was really terrible, but they're brand new. This is their first week, so you can't expect a lot. And they were super nice. Just, you know, they don't quite have their shit together yet, but you know, that's pretty normal. So you gotta cut. If you're gonna go visit a restaurant their first week in service, you better be prepared to cut them some slack because, you know, otherwise you're gonna be mad and you're never gonna go back, and that's dumb. So we'll definitely go back. Well, I'll probably give them a couple of months to get more settled, but as far as the food, they knocked it out of the park, so it's all good. Tara said her kitchen table magically fills back up immediately after cleaning it off. Oh, same. Same. I hate it. I really wish I was one of those people that had like a pretty tablecloth and like centerpiece on their table that just, you know, stayed there unmolested. That doesn't seem to be a reality for me. I'd like that though. I really would. Maybe that'll be my goal this year, for the kitchen table to be a little bit more sacred. Yeah. Well, it's never worked out for me in the past because of kids, but now it's just the two of us. Maybe I could beat Scott into submission on putting things onto the kitchen table. Probably not happening. Oh, one thing I did want to share before we get into Luminous, I did have a couple of new postings over on Joyful Goddess or on my Etsy page. So let me share those with you here quickly. Micah bought me this mini toolbox for Christmas that is so damn cute, and we decided that it would be fun to buy a few more and engrave the tops of them. They're really cute engraved. And so we bought a box of purple ones. And we've engraved two of them so far. So I'm going to share my screen and show you. Oh, okay, hold on. I always do this wrong. This share screen option is really cool and not very intuitive, unfortunately. It could grow. Okay, this is what the first one looked like. It's a night moth with roses and stuff. Isn't that cute? Yeah. So these are tiny. They're like 11 inches long, I think, and 8 inches tall. But they're great just for some small art supplies, maybe for something on your desk, stuff like that. I love them. Now let's see. Okay, now I have. Let me see if I can get the other one pulled up. Yeah, now we're gonna have to do this again. Sorry, you guys. Again, this tech is really cool and it's really frustrating, but we'll get there. So this one is a Skull and Bones, and I will openly admit that the pictures suck. It's hard to tell how cute this is. Over on the right hand side, you can see the skull head. See right here? And then there's bones buried in there too. You can see that in these pictures. Anyway, these turned out really, really cute. So I have two more planned that I haven't engraved yet, but Scott and I are actually going to have a booth in an oddities market next week or next month, sorry. And so everything I'm doing right now pretty much is befitting to the oddities theme, so I'm gonna probably just take those two and see how they do, and then we'll go from there. Hey, Maya. But anyway, cute. And those are over on Etsy if you're interested or want any of those. I think for anybody who has a desk at work, one of these would be really fun to put your pens and, Post-it notes and all that kind of stuff in, but maybe that's just me. Alrighty, well, let's take a look at Luminous. We've already done this topic somewhat this last year, but I was thinking yet again about noetics and the brain. And metaphysics and the brain, and how the cross section of that, where, or the crossroads of that, I guess, where we're talking about how your brain processes information, as well as how your consciousness behaves and how you can affect that. I think this is some of the most important stuff we could possibly be talking about. In personal development. I think there's way more important things we could be talking about, but that's not what this show is for. Oh, believe me, I have so considered a secondary show or TikTok or a podcast or something where I had more of a platform to talk about thoughts and feelings about human rights and things like that. But honestly, between crime and this show and regular job, well, just my hotline job, I don't know if I have the energy for it. I also just don't know how much I want to expose myself to the internet hate because it's immense. And yeah, anyway, so don't get me wrong. I know that there are huge, important topics that need to be discussed into infinitum right now. As far as personal development is concerned, I think this topic of consciousness and noetics and the brain and the crossroads there with metaphysics is one of the most important things we can be studying and talking about and thinking about. And the reason I think that is because this technical world is killing our brains in some ways. That sounds super dramatic. It doesn't need to. But how many adults do you know right now who believe that or have been told that they have adult onset ADHD? You hearing that a lot? Do you feel like that about yourself? You might. A lot of people are saying that. I have multiple clients in their 50s and 60s that have recently been diagnosed with adult onset ADHD. I'm hearing it right and left and center. People that are telling me I feel like I can't focus, I can't calm down, I can't get my brain to dial in. Why is it? Well, it, in my opinion, is the technical world. I mean the internet. I mean the never-ending barrage of information that is flowing into our consciousness. Tara said, I think reels keep making me think I have it, but maybe they are causing it. Right. Well, you think about reels and TikTok and even Instagram, Facebook, they are tiny bites of information, right? Most things are around 30 seconds to 3 minutes, maybe tops, and a lot of people won't sit through a 3 minute video. I mean, isn't that interesting? Most people won't sit through a 3 minute video. Wow. Why? Because our brains are overloaded with information. We're taking the dopamine hit of short and quick and moving on. I think it is why we feel like our brains are scattered as hell. I think part of it is because we're so ungrounded. And I believe that that has to do with the aforementioned challenges. Yeah. Lillian said, I've been told I've had it since I was a kid. It's probably worse now. My therapist says no TV. Interesting. I can't watch TV unless I'm doing something else too. And then more than likely when the commercials come on, I'll read a book for a couple of minutes. I hear that, Lillian. Loud and clear. And yet, what if? What if I did just sit aside everything else and make myself only watch TV? Could I do it? Would it drive me crazy? Probably. You know what I do? I'd end up playing with the dogs. I'd do something. Okay. So with all of that being said, and I know that's a winding road, but with all of that being said, I feel like that's why this study of noetics in the brain is so validating, is so important, and that there's so much to be gained from this conversation. So I called the edition this week the Mystical Brain because we're talking about recent brain studies and practices to expand intuition, creativity, clarity, and peace. When I talk to clients, most of the time, it's one of those things that they either need from me, which is great, or they're trying to draw from themselves. I know few people currently who feel like they have peace in their life. I know few people currently who feel like they have clarity. And I know a lot of people who are struggling to draw any creativity out of themselves at all because it's become a battle instead of a flow. I think partly that's because creative people are finding themselves wanting or needing to monetize their gift or their talent or their skill, which believe me, I've done it a lot of times. I totally get it. No criticism here whatsoever. But what happens when you monetize your intellectual property, your creative intellectual property, it immediately puts pressure on you to continue doing so. It's not always a bad thing, but it creates this place where creativity has gone from a flow to a force, and creativity doesn't like being forced. Not at all. So, what if there were some ways to help you to let go of the force and just allow creative energy to flow? We're going to work on it. So the mystical brain is where noetics, neuroscience, and metaphysical practices meet. It is extremely cool to me that science is saying, hey, let's start studying, and it's not brand new. Noetics has been a field of study for a while now, but let's study intuition. Let's study those feelings people have, those what we would call spiritual or metaphysical experiences that people have. Let's figure out what it is that makes prayer or meditation or intention setting potent. Let's actually like combine these things. And noetic scientists, have been mocked, they have been discounted, they have been treated like their work wasn't important or wasn't real. But luckily, some of them have soldiered on and just continue to learn really amazing things about the brain or consciousness or the intersection of the two. So, as we know for centuries, intuition, imagination, prayer, meditation, inner knowing, these were things that were treated as maybe as poetic, as magical, but not real. Not really real, right? But now we're learning with the brain scans, the brain studies that noetics are performing, that these types of activities are measurable in your brain when you're doing them. Measurable for your nervous system, for your blood pressure. It's so amazing and cool, and I love it. So noetic's biggest question is, what if consciousness matters? What is consciousness anyway? Not as an abstract, but as what is it in our biology, in our perception, in our healing? What is consciousness in our brains? What is consciousness in our human experience? So, organizations like the Institute of Noetic Sciences have been working for decades now to try and answer these questions. And the answer is becoming something more along the lines that consciousness isn't necessarily happening in the brain, but it's coming through the brain. The brain's processing information and then passing it down through our mind, body, and spirit. What does that really mean? I don't know if I know. I don't know if anybody knows, but it's exciting work, and I think it's really worth paying attention to. So we know now that when we meditate, imagine, pray, or focus with intention, the brain is literally shifting. Brainwave patterns synchronize. Stress responses soften. Regions associated with insight and emotional regulation become more active. This is why, whenever somebody asks me what they can do to develop their intuition, what's my answer? Always. Always. It's meditation. And people sigh because they don't want to. They've tried, they've failed, they hate it. I get it. Or they sigh because they don't really know what that means. Because our perception of meditation is quite skewed. Kind of wish meditation wasn't even the word anymore. Because meditation has turned into a battle for people that they feel like they can't win. But we're going to keep working on that today and other days. Meditation does not have to be the stopgap for you. This doesn't have to be the spot where you go, okay, well, I guess I'm out because that doesn't work out for me. Nope. We're not going to allow that. Creativity, intuition, and peace aren't random moods. They're states of coherence. All right, so let's talk about metaphysical practice and where this intersects. Metaphysical practices don't float above the body, they anchor into it, right? Metaphysical practices are frequently about what? Grounding, right? Being grounded to the earth, your spirit, being connected to the conduit of the earth, or being a conduit to the energy of the earth, and moving up through your body, right? It's not above you. It's below you. It's moving through you. Some amazing things about metaphysical practices. Visualization engages the same neural networks as physical action. If you visualize yourself getting up to bat and hitting a softball, that is engaging the same neural networks as if you were physically doing it. Isn't that amazing? That's amazing. That's how well-trained your brain is. Focused intention affects the nervous system. You can visualize yourself thin. I don't know how long that or how it works or if it how many decades it takes. I don't know. Okay. Ritual creates rhythm and rhythm calms the brain, right? Ritual, something that you do frequently or occasionally, but with purpose. This creates rhythms that calm the brain. I've said this before, but sometimes, a lot of times around the turn of the wheel, I start feeling this need for a ritual of some sort. I keep being drawn to it. Maybe it's just drumming for a little while, or it's having a fire, or it's doing a meditation that's geared towards that, the turn of the wheel, for that period of time, or whatever it is. But my brain's asking for it. Why is my brain asking for it? I wasn't raised doing ritual. Well, religious ritual, yeah, but not New Age rituals or spiritual rituals. Why does my brain want that? It doesn't. My spirit wants that. My spirit's asking my brain for that because that's the connection. And when my spirit gets what it needs, it creates the rhythm that my brain needs for me to settle in. All right, easy practices to develop your intuition. We've talked about these things before lots of times, right? But we go back to them because these are things that work. And if it's something that your body needs, great. If it's something your spirit needs, great. Sometimes it's just a good reminder, and you can go, oh, yeah, I can do that. I'm going to do that. Maybe the last time we talked about this, you were not here, or maybe you were too busy worried about other things, or maybe you were sick, or maybe you tried something else. So there is some repetition from me on certain topics that I know work because I want them to work for you. Daily stillness. Oh, this is a big one. We're just talking about it, right? 5 to 10 minutes. Sit comfortably, focus on your breath or a candle flame. Could be either. When thoughts arise, acknowledge them and return to center. Over time, intuition shows up as calm knowing and not a loud voice, right? Here's the truth. It is rare that your intuition shouts in your ear. Extremely rare. I've heard this from people for years that they don't think that they are intuitive or they don't think their intuition's giving them much because they're not getting a sledgehammer upside the head. That's not really how intuition works. It is a quiet knowing. I think the more you trust it and the more you interact with it, the more solid that knowing becomes. But this daily stillness, this 5 to 10 minutes of just focusing on a candle flame or focusing on breath, that's the most potent thing you could do today for your brain. And I hate to use the M word, but that's meditation. It didn't have to be big. It didn't have to be fancy. It didn't have to be hard. But that's meditation. And that will do more for your brain than you have any idea. Years ago, I had a client who came in. She was a grade school teacher, like 5th grade, I think. And she was at her wit's end. She was having one of those years that made teachers want to quit. She was considering it. She wasn't too far from retirement, and she was exhausted. And it just so happened it was that year where she had like 10 ADHD little boys in her classroom, and they were eating her for lunch. She was so tired, so discouraged, so frustrated. So she came in looking for a solution. How do I calm these freaking kids down? How do I get their brains in order? So what we decided to try, we brainstormed multiple ideas about how we help these kids. What we settled on was drumming. Because drumming is something that she could do, a physical action, that would resonate in the classroom, that would create ritual and patterns, and that she would be grounding. So we're working both with their brains and with their spirits at the same time, which in turn works with their bodies. So she bought a drum for me, a little buffalo drum. Buffalo just meaning it's an open-backed drum. So she started a daily drumming practice every morning when everybody was getting to school and it was time to start settling in and listening. As she walked through the classroom doing her morning chatting with students, morning updates kinds of things, and just softly drumming as she went. And then during things like read on your own time, she'd be walking up and down the aisles of the classroom, softly drumming. Before tests or times when she really needed everybody to focus and center in, everybody would stretch, they'd move their bodies, and while they did so, she was drumming. And it transformed her classroom. She went from a class of chaos and kids that could not focus, couldn't stop talking, couldn't settle down, to a group of kids that were pretty entranced with what she was doing and with learning. It was amazing. She was worried that the teachers in the classrooms around her might be disrupted by her drumming, and actually, what happened is that some of them started drumming too, and it worked. I lost contact with her over the years. I've always wondered, did she keep drumming every year? I would have definitely. Frankly, if I still had daycare here, thank God I don't. If I did, we'd be drumming. Why? Because it's creating some stillness in their brains and some grounding that kids need, that adults need, that our brains and our bodies need. It's amazing stuff. Okay, a body-based yes and no. We've practiced this here on this show before. We're going to do it again today. Learning how your body feels as the receiver of information that it is, how it responds to information is a really, really important tool for you. So the practice is to ask simple questions and notice how your body responds. Expansion, tension, warmth, ease, and this is usually in a certain spot. For a lot of people, it's in their stomach. For some people, it's in another part of their body. For some people, it's in a spot that's weaker. Like maybe you have chronic pain in your neck, and it might be your neck where you feel inflammation. And I think that's a pretty fascinating conversation that we should probably dive into on another day. But for today, let's just talk about it this way. So here's the practice that I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and take a few deep breaths. And ask yourself, or tell yourself something and decide where you're feeling it in your body. So we're going to start with a lie. I just want you to feel where in your body you respond to information that you don't believe is true. But you've got to choose the lie. I always go with something really egregious that is an obvious lie. Like you could lie about your first name. You could lie, I always say something crazy like, I hate puppies. Right? Because we all know darn well that's not true. So I might sit with that information, breathe with it, and tell myself that information. And that always creates for me a little void in my stomach, or maybe even a little twist in my stomach. That's where it comes up for me. It's where I feel it. Now, try a truth. Sit with the same feeling, eyes closed. An obvious truth. I usually tell myself my name. So tell yourself your truth. And that for me creates some fullness or some warming in my heart chakra. But please don't let my experience color yours. You don't have to feel your things where I feel them. In fact, you probably won't. And that's cool. You need to figure out where you feel it for you. But understanding that body-based yes and no is an amazing way for you to experience your body as the antenna that you are for data and information. Yes, Tara, I would be happy to. I'll look at him before we're done. Lillian said throat. Interesting. I have a cousin that I taught Reiki 2 years ago whose eye twitches when she hears something that is true. Her eye twitches. Wild. Dream bridging. Before sleep, ask one gentle question. Don't make this solving the cares of the whole world. Don't make this very heavy, a very heavy topic in your life. If you do that, you're not sleeping, right? So don't do that, but consider one gentle question. And keep a dream notebook because your intuitive mind loves to play in that space between worlds. So many people have discussed feeling intuition in their body or just experiencing intuition in that in-between state right before you fall asleep, right before you wake up, right in that place, right? That is a spot where you can really exercise your intuition. So ask a gentle question. Don't ask something hard and scary again, because you do want to sleep. But this is a place to play with your intuition in a really interesting way. Okay, how about some brain practices or a cross sec or a crossover between noetics and brain study and metaphysics to unlock creativity. Open focus gazing. This is when you soften your vision and take the whole room at once. This is harder than you think. We are used to scanning and honing in, right? You scan a room and you hone in on the one thing you want to look at, think about. Put focus on right now. So this is a practice in taking in an entire room, the whole wide angle. What this does is it moves your brain out of problem solving and it helps you to bring the creative part of your brain to the surface. So all this is just sitting in any space. This could be inside, outside, wherever. Where you're safe, and just allowing the focus of an entire room to be your backdrop. That's all. You don't have to think about doing anything. You don't have to think about fixing anything, changing anything, putting something away, cleaning something. No. No. If I had a newspaper, I'm kidding. But for real though, open focus gazing is, believe it or not, a really easy way to shift your brain out of problem solving and into creativity. This is a 30 to 60 second practice. You're not doing anything other than just observing everything. Morning pages. You're not going to do this every day. But if you're amidst a place where you want to develop more creativity, or you have a project that you're beating your head against the wall about, or there's just stuff you want to do that you haven't really been able to get your get up and go to go anywhere, try this. Write 3 pages without stopping or rereading. It could be about anything and absolutely nothing. It's just 3 pages of free writing. You can do this with your hands, you can do this on your computer, I don't care. Your handwriting can be so messy that you'll never come back and be able to even read it. You can write 3 pages and walk right over and throw them in the garbage can. It doesn't matter. This is just about bypassing your inner critic and letting your intuition flow through a direct channel. Again, it doesn't matter at all what you're writing about. In saying this, some of you are going, but then how do I start? If it doesn't matter what I'm writing about, but I'm writing, how do I know what to write about? You don't. Don't control it that much. Hell, you might just start with what's in your hand, right? Paper, pen, schoolwork, homework, buying school supplies when I was in junior high, having a trapper keeper that I loved, and moving on from there. Whatever. This is a stream of consciousness that doesn't matter. The content doesn't matter. What matters is that you're allowing free flow, which engages the creative parts of your brain. Hands-on ritual. Hands-on rituals are anything you're doing with your hands. This is super simple. Clay, glass, paint, stitching, anything tactile that brings creativity into the body. Doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be good. It doesn't have to be for any kind of outcome, even. You could be just doodling on notebooks. You could be playing with Play-Doh. It doesn't matter, but hands-on rituals, again, help to draw your creative center up and open where it might have been tamped down. All right, let's talk about practices for peace and nervous system healing. Because I'll tell you guys, anxiety might be ruling your life. That's happening to a lot of people these days. Between your personal life, your jobs, the world around you, your physical body, anxiety is high. And it could be that anxiety is ruling your life a lot more than you realize because you're just in this survival mode space where you're just trying to get by. So, what if we had a few easy ways to help lessen that anxiety and draw more peace into your brain and into your body? First, let's work with extended exhale breathing. And depending on the quality of your lungs, you may have to build up for this. The technique is to inhale for 4, exhale for 6. So let's try it a few times. So we're going to inhale for 4 and exhale for 6. And again, and out. Are you feeling the shift yet in your brain? I'll bet you are. In for 4, out for 6. In for 4. Out for six. What's happening in your body right now? What's happening in your brain right now? I had to do it three times before my shoulders dropped. And then they dropped hard. And I went, wow, I was doing this. When they dropped, whew, something that I was holding tight, right? Something I was protecting. When my brain finally relaxed and my body relaxed, I was able to let that down. I highly recommend at some point this week, or maybe several times, sitting with extended exhale breathing. And you don't have to be a super sleuth, right? It's not really about having to figure out where you're feeling it in your body, but you may notice some subtle shifts. And that's the important part. How about intention setting as care, not as control? Intention setting can turn into trying to rapidly fix something. And sometimes that ruins intention setting for people because it turns into something that has to be done right. And that really screws things up. So, what if intention setting was more gentle? Phrases like, may my body feel supported today, rather than this headache's going away, right? Rather than being so specific, what if it was a broader base? You're painting with a little broader brush here, but you're holding space for what you want. You want your body to feel supported today. That's relational to your whole body. That could be that your body feels better because you let go of stress. It could be that your body feels better because you take a nap. It could be that your body feels better because you make some other different choice, right? So instead of being so specific and trying to control exactly what it is, think broader. Few micro rituals. These are tiny things. Lighting a candle, washing your hands mindfully, stepping outside for one deep breath. These are all things that are telling your brain that it's okay to relax, it's okay to rest, especially if you do these things frequently. What if while you were washing your hands, you're allowing stress to run down the sink with the germs and debris on your hands? All the stress in your body is also running down the sink with it. What if stepping outside for one deep breath and a long exhale is drawing in peace and releasing stress. We're drawing in what your body and spirit want and releasing the rest. What if lighting a candle is inviting light into your life? When you do these things over and over and you hold the same intention over and over, they become something that sends a message to your brain. And with that beautiful relationship here between your brain and your consciousness that's also creating a mind, body, and spirit message that it's okay to rest, it's okay to relax, I am safe, things like that. It's big work. It's big and important work. And it's something you can do for yourself that nobody can do for you. Okay, moving on. Kelly's ReFeminist History article this week is called You Might As Well Be the Fucking Bitch. If you know what she's talking about, you'll know exactly what she's talking about. She wrote a bit of a poem, really. And I love it. It's perfect. Thank you, Kelly, always. All right. My tip this week is soften your focus. We talked about this in the above article, but this again is about that practice of softening your focus and your gaze. So you can go through this, but this is again a practice to shift yourself out of problem solving and into creative flow. So simple. Christie's article this or video this week is E-Power, What is My Superpower? And she's talking about your superpower as an empath. It's really good stuff. Okay, lots of crime over at True Crime Squad. No surprise there. The beat always marches on. Lots of meditations over at Planet Meditation, which again is always just really great music to have in the background too, as you're just going through your day. And that is it for Luminous this week. So hopefully there's some gems there. So next week, we're going to talk more about meditation specifically. A few techniques, a few different, I'm going to take you through a few different things. We're going to do some bowls. We're going to do some drumming. We're going to do some guided work. I think we may even do some tapping. So next week, be prepared to really do a little work with me if you want to work on some of those topics. My goal is to just help you find some techniques that work for you. You know, to find some techniques that help you feel better, help your body feel better, and help your brain feel better. That's the goal. So that's what I've got. I want to remind you that I am a professional psychic advisor over at 12listen.com, and you can find me over there every single day. I can help you with a psychic reading, with energy work, do a ton of energy work over there, lots of animal communication, mediumship, problem solving. I will help you in any way that I can, of course. And I did want to remind you that I do have my 12-month reading right now. That is the reading that I do for, well, I say I do it for this time of year. Actually, some of you guys buy these any time of the year and just do a 12-month snapshot for any given, you know, time. But the 12-month reading, I'm going to share a link with you, but it's, you purchase it as an email reading. And then Suzanne, yep, right here. You purchase it as an email reading, and then I'll contact you and we'll pick a time. And we'll actually meet face-to-face via video to do that reading. And it's recorded, and then I'll send you a link so that you can go back and look at it anytime that you want throughout the year. So it takes about an hour, and it's a good one. Some of you guys really love doing these every year, and I like it too. I love to get to connect with you guys one-on-one, especially via video, so we can actually see each other, and it's good. Thanks, Suzanne. I appreciate that. Yep, so that's there. Again, if you head over to 12listen and I'm not there, just do a callback request or a scheduled call, and I'll get right back with you. There's no way I've gone very far. It's most likely I'm just on a podcast. Alrighty, guys. Please take good care of yourselves. I'll see you next week, same place, same time. This has been yet another production of The Katie Weaver Show here on 12 Radio, where we're changing the way you listen to the world.